Hello, thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. There is no doubting that Jesus Christ is pivotal to our salvation. If there had been no death and resurrection of Jesus, there would be no hope for us today. But that isn't the case at all. Christianity is linked to Jesus Christ, and it was at Antioch that the disciples were first called Christians, probably as a derisive smear. While it was the Romans and religious elite who ridiculed and mocked Jesus right before his crucifixion, there is majesty about Jesus that we can never forget, and that majesty goes back to the earliest recorded time in the Bible. Some think Genesis is the earliest recorded time in the Bible, but the first chapter of John pushes back even further in history, where in the beginning was the Word who was with God and was God, who made all things and who had in him life. The light of men that shines brightly in darkness that cannot understand the light. John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. It was in this beginning time that we look at Genesis chapter 1, where we are told that God created the heaven and earth. The God who created the heaven and earth is the Word, who was God by whom all things were made. And in complete and total darkness, in a world without form and void, as a result of the evil brought by Satan, that the Word who was God commanded light to be present, who then separated light from darkness, much like how the darkness could not comprehend the light. In the first day of creation, we concluded Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. What we look at as a day is a daily reminder of the light that the Word introduced into the darkness. And nighttime reminds us of darkness that is without light. And much like Genesis lists the evening as the first part of the day followed by the daytime, the light that was introduced followed the darkness that comprehended it not. Returning to John, we see that the Word who was with God in the beginning, who was God, and by whom all things were made, who had life in him that cannot be comprehended by darkness, was made flesh and dwelt among us. Who revealed his glory to John and the other disciples? Who had John the Baptist proclaim his coming? The Word who was with God in the beginning, who was God, and by whom all things were made, who had life in him, is who we think of as Jesus Christ, through whom comes grace and truth, transcending the law of Moses. John 1, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This is he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Having been there since the beginning, as we understand the concept of time, because with God and Jesus Christ there is no beginning of time, there comes this eminence and majesty. And somehow this eminence and majesty has focused attention on each of us on this smaller planet. King David reflected on this in the 8th Psalm, and this is taught further in Hebrews. In Hebrews, we are taught of the urgency we must have with our calling, lest we find ourselves falling away. We are reminded that if angels could fall from grace and become what we think of as demons today, that unless we seriously defend our calling, we too can find ourselves fallen from grace. We cannot neglect the salvation we have before us, knowing we are made a little lower than angels, while also knowing that Jesus was also made a little lower than the angels, because Jesus physically died through extreme suffering and was crowned with glory and honor, tasting death for every person. Hebrews 2, verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man, that thou art mindful of him, or the Son of Man, that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels, thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. The majesty of Jesus not only looks forward in time to the kingdom of God when he returns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but also looks back in time to promises made during Old Testament times. David was promised that his kingdom would endure forever. 2 Samuel 7, verse 12. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. While it was Solomon who built the temple, it is through Jesus, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the throne of David is established forever, as Jesus is a descendant of David. Matthew 1, verse 1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. When Jacob called his sons together to tell them of what would happen to them during the last time, Judah was told that the scepter would not depart from Judah. Genesis 49, verse 10. the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Jesus was born of the tribe of Judah and will rule as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Luke 3 verse 33 confirms that Jesus was of the tribe of Judah. Which was of the son of Amminadab, which was of the son of Aram, which was of the son of Esrom, which was of the son of Pharez, which was the son of Judah. Jesus is worthy of majesty because his human birth was the result of a miracle of God, with his mother Mary, a virgin who became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Mary was directly told that her son would be known as the Son of God. Luke 1, verse 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. The fact that Jesus was born in a small town has nothing to do with his majesty. Micah 5, verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Even Herod was told of Micah's prophecy when he was trying to figure out where the Messiah would be born. Matthew 2, verse 4. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. When Jesus spoke in parables, he was sharing knowledge that had been hidden since the beginning of time. And each of those parables speak to the majesty that is Jesus. Psalm 78, verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, and his strength, and his wonderful works that he hath done. In sharing knowledge hidden since the beginning of time, the majesty of Jesus confounded the religious elite of his day. Matthew 13, verse 34. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. When Jesus began proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom of God, the majesty of that kingdom, the majesty of being King of Kings and Lord of Lords, was revealed to the people of Galilee who only knew darkness. Isaiah 9, verse 1. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation when at first He lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan and Galilee of the nations. The people that walk in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Jesus left for Galilee after John the Baptist was imprisoned, and the light that the people saw was the message that leads to life, to repent, because the kingdom of God is at hand. Without the kingdom of God, there is darkness. Matthew 4, verse 12. Now, when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up." From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The majesty that is Jesus brings hope to the meek, closure and comfort to the brokenhearted and those who mourn, and freedom to those imprisoned. Isaiah 61, verse 1. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn." Jesus read these verses on the Sabbath when at the synagogue in Nazareth, his hometown. Through the majesty of Jesus, the acceptable year of the Lord was proclaimed to the people who had probably known Jesus for a very long time. Luke 4, verse 16. "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.' And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, 'This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears.'" The majesty that is Jesus is directly linked to God the Father and comes with dominion, glory, and an everlasting kingdom, the kingdom of God. In Daniel 7, verse 13, "I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion, and glory, and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Mary was told not only that her son would be named Jesus, but that he would be known as the Son of God, who would inherit the throne of David and rule forever. Luke 1, verse 31. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. The majesty that is Jesus transcends human majesty. When we look at physical wealth and power as symbols of majesty, spiritual qualities are what define the majesty of Jesus, who, when he entered Jerusalem, entered by riding on a simple donkey. Today, that would be like a head of state arriving in an old car, not the limousines we are accustomed to seeing. Zechariah 9, verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Even though Jesus arrived on a simple donkey, that did not prevent the people from celebrating his arrival in Jerusalem. Matthew 21, verse 8. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. The majesty of Jesus is far greater than the 30 pieces of silver that was paid to betray him and eventually paid for a burial location for poor people. Zechariah 11, verse 12. And I said unto them, If ye think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said unto me, Cast it unto the potter, a goodly price that I was prized at of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. Even though the majesty of Jesus was far greater than 30 pieces of silver, 30 pieces of silver was enough to betray Jesus. Matthew 27, verse 6. And the chief priests took the silver pieces and said, It is not lawful for us to put them into the treasury, because it is the price of blood. They took counsel and brought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, And they took the 30 pieces of silver, and the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me. When Jesus was betrayed for 30 pieces of silver, crucified and died, the religious elite never considered that the majesty of Jesus made him our Passover, who was sacrificed for us. Let's look at that first Passover in Egypt. Exodus 12, verse 21. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at that door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. And you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass, when ye come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that you shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass, when your children say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That you shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians, and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshipped. Just like that first Passover in Egypt gave reason for the angel of death to pass over the homes of the children of Israel as the firstborn of Egypt were put to death, Jesus, as our Passover, brings us from darkness and death to light and life. And we keep the feast of unleavened bread, not with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth that comes through the majesty of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7. Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. The majesty of Jesus includes his death and resurrection so that each of us has the opportunity for eternal life. And yet the majesty of Jesus precluded the breaking of his bones, as was required of the Passover sacrifice. Exodus 12, verse 46. In one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth out of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall you break a bone thereof. Jesus died so that our sins can be forgiven, and died a horrific death, and was the first to die among the group of three who were crucified that day. The bones of the other two were broken to hasten their death, but the bones of Jesus were not broken because he was already dead. John 19, verse 31. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his leg. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that he might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. In the Old Testament, animals were sacrificed so that the blood would provide an atonement. But those sacrifices could never bring eternal life. Leviticus 17, verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. The majesty of Jesus includes his sacrifice, and it is the blood of Jesus that provides a pathway for us to eternal life, giving us forgiveness of sin. Matthew 26, verse 28. For this is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. When God punished Israel in the wilderness, it was Moses who made a serpent of brass and lifted it up so that all who were bitten by snakes would live if they looked at it. Numbers 21, verse 6. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he look upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. The majesty of Jesus brings us eternal life as he seeks not to condemn the world, but that through him all might be saved. John 3, verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The majesty of Jesus left him as a voice crying out in the darkness, as the presence of God was withdrawn from him, as the sins of the world were placed on him. Psalm 22, verse 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. During this time, Jesus cried out to God the Father and did not hear back. Matthew 27, verse 46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The majesty that is Jesus does not bring condemnation after condemnation against us or others, but brings compassion from one who was tempted in all points as we are tempted today, yet was without sin. The majesty that is Jesus allows us to boldly come to the throne of grace to find help in our time of need. Hebrews 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The majesty that is Jesus is faithful and true, and is based in righteousness. Knowing we have a high priest who we can access at any time to find grace in our time of need, we also know the majesty of Jesus will one day bring all nations to subjection under him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Revelation 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The majesty of Jesus will be seen by all at his second coming, when he brings his reward to share with all people according to their works, who do his commandments, having access to the tree of life. Revelation 22, verse 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let them that hear say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, and if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. The majesty of Jesus was present at the beginning of time when the Word was with God and the Word was God. The majesty of Jesus is always present as we have Jesus as our high priest who knows our weaknesses and will be present when Jesus returns, bringing with him his reward for the faithful. The majesty of Jesus brings us hope of eternal life through a selfless act of sacrifice so that we can have forgiveness of sin. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the first day of Unleavened Bread. Until then, thank you for joining us today.